special moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live?
Yeah!
Orange whip.
Come get some.
Orange whip.
And here it is.
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nail down the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive.
Wonderful to Tim.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
Welcome back. I am actually saying that to us because it's been quite a while since we sat in front of microphones and told you our deepest, darkest secrets, our hopes, dreams, and desires. My name is Derek Knight. You are listening to The Big Program. Colin Burton is making a face that says, I've never done that. Get your mic closer to your mouth before you say anything. Now say something.
Hey.
Look at that.
Hello.
Yeah. My sister Heather, formerly of Matt at Spam,
hiya,
has her very basic drink in front of her.
Yep. My go-to amaretto sour.
Jessica.
What's up?
Is here. She's got a new mic. Well,
yeah.
She doesn't have a new. I have a new mic, and then I gave it to her to use.
I can see everybody.
Yeah, she's not stuck behind this massive.
I'm not. My face isn't behind a giant pop screen anymore.
Yeah. Which, I mean, mine is, but I like this.
Right.
I feel comfortable with this.
We like it too.
Yeah. So if I hide my face from you, then the world is in stasis, then everything is working as it should.
Well, you also have to run a board.
Yeah, I'm driving a bus. Driving a bus and having a good time. We all have our niche. I do need a new chair. You can hear it creaking so much.
It's very squeaky.
I just got back from the World Series of Comedy Main Event, and that was in East St. Louis, which is so close to St. Louis, you could smell it. But it wasn't. It was in Illinois. Like, you're in a completely different state, even though you could probably huck a nickel across the river and hit Missouri. And I listened to some of these podcasts because we're all somewhat narcissistic, right?
Right.
And I listened to some of these podcasts to cut the 12-hour drive down. And I was like, I can hear my chair a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Probably should fix that. But y'all been traveling too.
We have been.
Yeah. Why don't you tell listener about
this is your
passion project, this whole Old West shit that you're really, really into.
Right.
That we're definitely will go into greater detail on a future podcast about.
Woo-hoo!
But yeah, tell us all about your trip.
Well, Colin and I went last week to Tombstone, Arizona. We spent the first night, well, we got there really late at night on Wednesday, not late, but late enough, where most of the restaurants in town were closed.
No, so it's a square town. It's a town full of squares where they roll the sidewalks
It's
up.
Just that historical section, pretty much, and they don't actually have, like, you know, Olive Gardens and shit like that. So I had to look up stuff because we were hungry. No. And so
just the Long Branch Saloon.
Big Nose Kate Saloon.
Big Nose Kate Saloon
was where we ended up, because the other two places that were open were Doc Holliday Saloon and Johnny Ringo Saloon, and they were both actual bars.
And they were just off fighting, apparently.
Apparently. And so we went to Big Nose Kate's for dinner, and we walked around at night, which was cool because we've never done that before. And it's supposed
to be... You've never walked around at night?
Not Tombstone.
And not Tombstone.
Okay. I was about to say...
We stay inside.
Only when
the dark, it frightens me.
Those vampires come out, man.
Mostly.
Yes. So we walked around there at night because it's supposed to be haunted, but, you know, nothing happened, of course. But then we spent the entire next day in Tombstone just walking around and
looking
at everything, taking a bunch of pictures. Rode a stagecoach.
You rode a stagecoach?
We rode in a stagecoach.
Did the stagecoach get robbed?
No. Did the horses fart a lot? I couldn't tell.
It was.
We were far away from the horses.
Smelled like normal farts. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it just smelled like horses. But so that was really cool because we were afraid that it was just going to take us up one side of Allen Street, turn around, and come down the other. But he took us all around the entire town.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was super cool. Colin videotaped everything from his side.
Videotaped?
Then,
like, you actually had tape?
No.
Videotaped.
You see how old I am?
It is hard. It is hard to update your nomenclature when for years you're like, yo, I got that on tape. Do you videotape? No, it's not tape anymore.
But I did use landscape instead of portrait.
Good for you. Thank you for being a professional.
Yeah.
I try.
I mean, if you're going to edit it down later, I always tell people, if you're going to send me something, send me landscape. You send me portrait, then you're just first in the purge. That's it. First in the purge.
While we were at the hotel having breakfast, the guy told us we needed to go to Bisbee and check out Bisbee, which was, hey,
Jess is holding up the program book from the World Series of Comedy main event, and she got to my full page ad for me.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just, while you were talking, I was like, oh, yeah. Look, it's Derek.
I'll cover the reasons for that here in a bit after Heather's done telling her story.
Okay, you're in Bisbee. Yes, so we just, he's like, oh, you got to go to Bisbee. It'll be great. So great. Such a great town, blah, blah, blah. So, and it's only like, what, 20-some miles away from Tombstone, I think it was. So we drove down there, and it was so flipping cute. It was like Manitou in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like this
full of hippies.
Yeah, well, it was like this really narrow, hilly road, curvy road, and it had the real tall buildings that were squished together, and they were painted bright colors.
Houses up on the hills.
And, yeah, houses up on the hills and bright paintings, and there was lights strung across the roads going from roof to roof. And
that was
just
cool.
Really cute, but we never found any place to eat because once again everything closes at like 5. So
I had the same problem in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Really?
Like most everything closes at 9. So I was at a restaurant and then they, you know, I was eating and they're like, okay, we're last call, we're closing. And I'm like, cool, is there any place after like I can go and get a drink? Or no, everything's going to close. And they were right. There's one place open that stayed open till midnight. And there was no fucking way I was going to go in that place. It was such a redneck bar. There's nothing in there that I want. There's absolutely nothing in there that I could ever want.
Well, we had rented a car to go down there. We ended up with a Chrysler 300.
Okay.
And while we were in Bisbee, we had walked up and down the streets for a while, and we were getting ready to get back in the car, and I was leaning up against the roof, and I went, hey, do we have a sunroof? Colin's like, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, well, I don't know. That looks like a sunroof. So we get in, and Colin's like, no, see, there's just a roof. And I'm like, but it moves. And so he hit this button, and whoop, hey, we had a sunroof. And it was really cool because it was super dark. Because we went to Sierra Vista afterwards, actually, have dinner. On the way home, he opened the sunroof, and it was just pitch black out there. And it has actually been so long since I've seen stars.
Yeah.
That it was
so, you live in any city, and that sometimes that light pollution takes that joy away.
Yeah, and it was just really cool. So that was one of my favorite parts of the whole trip, was that just coming home and watching all the stars through the sunroof.
That's neat.
Yeah, but and then the next day, oh man, that was a tiring, hot, dirty day. We went to the Chiricahua National Monument, which, if you have never been there, oh my God, that is one of the coolest places I've ever seen in my entire life.
Chiricahua National Monument.
Yes.
And where is this?
It is like an hour east of Tombstone.
In the state of Arizona?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's in this, there's this big forest, you know, and it's kind of like going up to the monument.
In Colorado, in Grand Junction?
In Junction, kind of, but there's more foresty stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
And we got out of the car and...
It starts with more foresty stuff. Well, I don't know. I don't like the foresty stuff as well. I would like more of a trail.
Because I think people who have never been to Arizona, I mean, you think Arizona and you're like, it's just a bunch of rocks.
But it is such a diversely...
It really is.
...diverse state agriculturally and terrain. I mean, there are ski resorts in Arizona.
And there's some beautiful pine forest areas. Oh, yeah. And that was like the... Because at the Colorado National Monument, it's all just canyon.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, you start off driving through a canyon, but this, it's a forest. And so we got out and we did like a mile walk in this on this forest path, which is really cool. And then we drove all the way up to the top, parked, and got out and started looking. And we walked up this path and came around a corner, and it was just like, wow. I mean, it's just these rocks that were formed by a volcanic eruption like millions of years ago. And it looks like people standing out in a crowd. There's like just these columns of rocks. And they're just, it's just amazing.
That's fun.
And so we and that was a hard hike. And it was hot.
Yeah.
No shade.
It wasn't the worst.
It was all uphill and lots of rocks to climb around
we
on.
We are all in the best shape of our life in this room.
Wait, I'm in my prime. So we did that. And then Colin, of course, is letting me plot our course for the day, which was a mistake. He should have known. But so we go
there
to the
There was a bit of back and forth.
There was. So we go to the Chiricahua National Monument, which is an hour east. And then he's like, where to next? And I'm like, I want to go to the Apache Stronghold or the Cochise Stronghold. And
Cochise
Stronghold.
It's a Cochise picture. So, by the end, your friends.
Which is now a campground in the Dragoon Mountains.
Yeah.
And it was where Cochise...
It's my chair.
It's my chair. I just want everybody, I want listener to imagine that you're sitting on like an old rusty bed. Like he's actually doing this broadcast wearing like an old pair of stripey nightshirt.
Yeah.
Little nightcap.
I've got a little nightcap and I've got a candle because it is 1908.
You actually walk back in time when you walk over to that side of the
room. It's true. This time anomaly.
It's really cool. So... We end up going to the Stronghold, which is an hour and a half west. So we've gone east, now we've gone west. We get to the Stronghold, and we're in this rented car, and it's like miles and miles of dirt road to get up there. And then it's like, oh, well, it's really steep, and it's best if you have a four-wheel drive. And we're like, okay, we're in a Chrysler. We're not going to go up that hill. So I took some pictures, and there was a sign, and it reminded me that the historical event that I'm completely obsessed with right now took place at Apache Pass, and they're like, it's 30 miles east of here.
And you can actually say what historical event you're obsessed with. You don't have to be coy about it.
I will. I'm not going to. Just setting the scene.
Oh, okay.
Because then I asked Colin, well, hey, can we go to Apache Pass? It's only 30 miles east, but you don't think about how far 30 miles is, really, until you start driving.
I mean,
you know.
Well, and that's what, like, one of the reasons when I was in East St. Louis, there were a couple of open mics in the city of St. Louis, but they're out by the airport. And I'm like, 23 miles? But literally, it's like the city of St. Louis is a major city.
Yeah.
And I'm not in it. And then it's on the west side. And I'm like, 23 miles just to go to a fucking open mic?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Nah.
No, I'm going to stay here and not do an open mic. But go ahead.
Okay, so I asked Colin, can we go over there? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? Well, then we hit this sign that says, you know, Chiricahua National Monument this way. And it was like, well, fuck, we were already there.
Right by it.
So, but I realized that if we had done the monument, then the Apache Pass, I would not have wanted to go to the Stronghold because we would have been so tired because it was 8 miles of dirt road to get to where Apache Pass is, which is in the National Park of the Fort Bowie ruins.
Okay.
And you get there and it's just this desert. And there's some trees, but not many.
Trees?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of like, you know, little poplar trees or whatever they are. I don't even know what kind of trees they are, but they're just sparse little things. And it's literally the desert, and it's 92 degrees, and there's very slim clouds out there. And there's like a little bathroom, and then there's the little info thing. And I was like, oh, hey, see, if we walk this trail, we're going to hit where the Bascom Affair took place, which is what I'm completely obsessed with. And I was like, I need to see this, the Bascom Affair, which apparently we're going to go into detail in another pod, because Derek said we were.
Yeah, she wants to do a real intense history lesson. Show.
And I won't look up anything about it then.
I think we should.
I'll be honest. Like, I mean, I'm fascinated. I'm glad you had a good time, but I'm sitting over here like I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about at all. Any of this, I'm like,
and then
Apache Pass, and then some sort of painted something, and then my mind wandered off to wispy clouds and poplars.
A couple people got murdered, and then cows were stolen. I don't know.
And then Val Kilmer shot some people and died. Exactly. That's what I understand.
That's pretty much it. So we're looking at the info deal there.
Yeah.
And it was like, go ahead.
I was going to say, when we pull up, there are two other sedans there. And this isn't Sedan Road.
Right.
Which really weird, but no people.
Okay.
We never saw the people.
We never saw the people.
So we're assuming they're dead out there somewhere.
Yeah, they never made it.
They're dead. Wah, wah, wah. But should have taken a picture of the license plate.
We should have, yeah. Kansas and California, that's all I remember.
Oh, well, Kansas, what the hell are they doing?
We figured they were doing a drug deal or something.
Probably.
Yeah. It says that.
Yeah, Kansas had to come through Colorado, and California's like, hey, man, where's my legal weed?
Exactly.
California has legal weed.
I was going to say they're legal now, so.
Maybe they were doing a side by side for their podcast.
Maybe.
California versus Colorado, the seas of weed. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, it says it's a mile and a half hike to the ruins of Fort Bowie.
Okay.
And, of course, in my brain, I'm like, a mile and a half? Psh, that's nothing. We got this.
It's a mile and a half.
But the incline is only a mile.
Flat. A mile and a half up a mountain might kill you.
Right, but this is flat.
Okay,
it's flat. It's flat. And it's, but
92 degrees in Arizona.
You just have to understand. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
To
yeah,
be
yeah,
where
yeah.
I am. And sure. I'm like, I need to see this area. Uh-huh. This is what I want. And Colin's like, okay. Uh-huh. We get like, I don't know, a few feet. And Colin's like, I need to go back to the car and get the sunscreen in my hat.
Down the trail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be prepared.
Yeah. So we had our water and our sunscreen, and he had his hat, and we were good to go. And we start walking, and we're walking, and it's like, holy shit, it's really hot. Holy cow, I'm tired. And we come to a mile marker. We're like, cool, half a mile, quarter mile. Shit, okay.
Once around the track, you
right,
guys.
Exactly. Like, okay. All right. So we walk another quarter mile. We're like, okay, we're at half a mile. Oh, my God. And the sun is not going behind clouds. These clouds are shit.
It's that level on Mario where the sun is literally trying to kill
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And just like that cartoon with Beavis and Butthead where they're like, this desert sucks. It needs a water fountain.
Desert sucks.
That
I need a water fountain.
Yes, exactly. And a Whataburger. That was all I wanted. So I
fucking love Whataburger, right. You guys.
So we,
that's one thing we agree on.
Thank you.
Whataburger is worth going to.
So we're walking and we're walking and we're walking, and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm never gonna make it to this fort. This, you know, hopefully, and I told him, I said, if we hit the field where the Bascom Affair took place, I'm done. That's all I want to see. We can turn around and go back.
Yeah.
And we came around this bend, and it was this big flat field with what they call mountains. We
sure,
call
yeah,
hills.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
And I was like, well, this looks like a good place to camp. This has got to be the place. And thank God.
It was.
It was it. And so I got to see the field where the whole thing took place. And then I was like, okay, I'm done. I took my pictures. I'm good to go. And Colin's like, but there's another sign up there. And I'm like, tired.
You've come all this way.
And he was like, come on. It's not like we can just pop back out here at any time. I was like, fine. Yeah. And I'm glad we did, because it was the ruins of the stagecoach way station, which is super important to the story.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, now I'm done. And he's like, oh, hey, look, there's a cemetery up there.
Oh, shit. See, but that's where things happen.
But then we hike up there. We come to find out there's no bodies buried there.
They moved all the bodies.
Oh, so they're just cenotaphs at this point.
Yeah, and so, but one of the markers was for one of Geronimo's sons, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And another one was for that General O.O. Howard.
Geronimo 2, Electric Boogaloo, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
And then one of them was for General O.O. Howard, which that was cool, too.
O.O. Howard?
O.O.
O.O., not YOLO.
No, not YOLO.
General YOLO.
O.
Okay.
And so we saw that, but
he only lived once.
Yeah. So then we had to walk back, and I mean, it was just sunburned and hot and dirty and thirsty and hungry.
Yeah, because we hadn't eaten all day by that point.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah, don't ever let her make the agenda for the day.
Yeah, that was
bad. You're probably like, I'm going to be a supportive husband. I'm going to tell her, just follow your passion and do these things. I'll follow you. And then you realize that was stupid. I need some input into this process.
I think we should have just, my problem was that I forgot about Apache Pass for some reason.
Yeah.
Until it was too late. But like I said, if we had done that second,
you wouldn't have gone to the other
one. I wouldn't have gone to the other one thinking that we would have had to gone out and hike there too.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't, and it worked out well.
Good.
Were the sedans still there when you left?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, okay. We never saw anybody else.
So they may have made it all the way to the fort,
or they may
be dead amongst the brambles.
In the trunk.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're still there.
I kept thinking we'd pass them the longer we went. Like, well, surely they're going to come back.
There's got to be somebody out here, right?
Maybe they brought a picnic and they were all picnicking at the fort.
Maybe.
I still think they're
dead. So, Colin.
Or maybe there was a Whataburger at the fort. You guys didn't make it there.
Oh, man,
if you didn't
get to the Fort Fort David Bowie Whataburger.
David Bowie.
Jesus.
Next time.
Under pressure. So what, Colin? Honest.
Okay.
How did you handle this whole trip?
I enjoyed it a lot.
Did you?
In fact, when we were done, I was like, you know what? I want to quit. I want to just figure out a way to not have to do what I'm doing anymore. Yeah.
And travel and see historical things.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Watch me see.
Well, I will say this. You should strive to get a job where you work remotely. Because then you'll be able to travel more.
Right.
Because you can work from anywhere. Now, sometimes it bites us in the ass. Like, Jess and I were in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I get a text from my boss saying, hey, I'm going to be pitching a cruise line tomorrow. I need a PowerPoint. And I'm like, hey, PowerPoint's not my strong suit, but yes, okay. So I'm drunk as shit in our hotel room that didn't have a desk. So I had to pull the dresser close to the bed to work on this PowerPoint.
But you got it done.
I got it done. And the thing, because I asked the dude who is my boss, and he's the owner of the company. So you give me these vacation days, but how do I take them? I don't know the protocol. He's all, just don't disappear on me. And so that's what I do. I just work from wherever I'm at. And sometimes the Wi-Fi is tenable, and sometimes I get mad at it. And that was the case.
And sometimes you get
to
send him a text that says, hey, I'm not near good Wi-Fi right now. Give me till the middle of the day tomorrow.
Oh, no, I would never send that text. I would never admit that
That's my fantasy.
No.
When we're on vacation.
No.
Let's go back to the hotel room. I got to pump something out for my boss.
No, man, rolling the dice. That's it. Like, the whole dice roll is that I won't get contacted and nothing will go wrong.
True.
And I try. I do very.
And you still get a lot of work done usually.
Yeah, I get a lot of work done. Then that's
how
I
do it during planned time, not during unplanned time.
Right. Yeah, I don't like the unplanned when we're sitting at a tiki bar just drunk off our goddamn ass.
Right.
And I'm like, shit, gotta go. Oh, shit. I gotta go. Fuck.
Although I am excited, speaking of traveling places.
Yeah.
Because you were in East St. Louis.
East St. Louis.
You guys were in
Tombstone.
I haven't been anywhere recently, but in a couple of weeks.
I've got it right here on the list.
Yeah, we are going to be.
You're going.
In Palm Springs.
Oh, well, see, I was
and
actually.
And in Southern California.
But before that.
Before that, I'm going to be in Massachusetts.
That, yeah.
I am literally within a week and a half span going to see both the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm, yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
She's going to fly to Massachusetts. And
my mom.
Get her mom.
Is moving back. So oh, cool. It will be the grand. Oh, man, I'll have stuff to talk about next time.
Because oh, yeah.
I'm going to be driving in a small car with a U-Haul trailer attached to it for 4.5 days with my mother.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But I
nobody pushes her buttons like her mom.
That's what moms do. She
is 90% of the time.
We turn into radio.
A very reasonable person who I get along with very well.
Jessica?
Jessica.
Okay.
Jessica.
Well, I didn't know if you were talking about her mom or not.
No. I like her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's never going to listen to this podcast.
Unless she might.
She might.
We might listen to it on the way back.
Christine, we're just being honest. When you all get together, it's kind of like a hurricane. And then I'm caught on the exterior of the hurricane going, I don't know if I want to stick my hand in there.
Yeah. Yeah, the issue is we're very similar people in a lot of ways. And, yeah, nobody knows how to push your buttons like your mother. And
oh, yeah.
On the flip side, nobody knows how to push your buttons like your daughter.
The look on Heather's face right now is, I don't know if you're zoning out or if you're thinking, because it's an angry look.
Oh, that must just be my normal face, because I thought I heard a cat meow, and then I was like, wait.
No, it's probably
was like,
my
your chair. It was your chair.
Or, we are getting close to the anniversary of Abigail.
Yeah, so.
Has it been almost a year already? Coil.
Yeah, I can't remember the actual date, but, it's got to be coming up pretty quickly.
It was October-ish.
So maybe she's just visiting from the ethereal plane.
It could also be because we were talking about my mom, and my mom has a thing with ghost cats.
She does. This is a very weird thing, and why don't you talk about
it? We actually talked about it today on the phone.
Did you? Nice.
Because, so the house my mom is living in currently was my grandmother's house. It's literally my mom's childhood house. Like, she grew up in this house, and they're in the process of selling it. It's under contract, and it's a super emotional thing, obviously, but she told me today when I was on the phone with her, she's like, I'm trying to slowly say goodbye to the house, and I was like, you better, tell all your ghost babies last chance to get back on board and come with you if they're going to move with you again, because she's got all of these ghost cats, we're convinced, that have followed her throughout her life, so she has a lot of familiars that...
Yeah,
but I don't believe in this shit at all.
You try not to believe.
I try not to believe in this.
And then you feel ghost cats running.
Yeah,
around.
I'm an atheist until I spend the night at my mom's, and I will wake up in the middle of the night, and there's a very distinct feeling of a cat jumping on the bed and walking across your legs. Has happened to me multiple times. Like, I've been in bed and could swear to God there's a cat curled up on my feet.
Although
I feel that there's a cat that jumps on the bed, and. There is no cat living in the house.
I will point out that ghosts and God really can exist separately. You can be an atheist
and
still believe in some sort of supernatural element.
In general,
I subscribe to this theory that atheist means anti-supernatural.
Well, no, it's
atheist
literally
means
higher power. No God.
Yeah, no God.
But I mean, the lion's share
of vanity plays.
Comes along with that belief system is the fact that you're. Rooted in science and what is proven real is real, and it's. But I also think there's a lot of space. There's a lot of space there for things that haven't been proven.
I know
yet.
I'm trying to be a good atheist. I'm trying.
I just honestly don't.
Really trying very hard.
I don't.
Liking.
I don't believe in ghosts.
I have a
supernatural story for you if you want to hear it. Super quick.
Okay.
So this morning, for some reason, I told myself I wanted a sign from Dad to see if he was around. And then today, my phone lit up for no reason. Nobody texted me. There was no notification, nothing, but it was 12:12.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. Huh. So there you go.
Power
That's my supernatural story.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So the World Series of Comedy main event. Jess is holding the program book.
It's amazing. You designed the program book. I love your ad. Your full page ad.
My full page ad. The World Series of Comedy guys, Joe Lowers runs it. Jason Rowland, who's a proud Canadian, is vice president. And they've been very kind to me. As a stand-up comic, they have been very forthcoming in feedback. And, hey, this is what you need to do. to improve and get booked, and here's what we see that we like about you, and this is what you need to do to improve and continue.
They're good at coaching comics.
They're great at coaching. And they've turned me from an absolute hack into what I consider to be a pretty reasonable D-level comic. And I don't storm into a situation going, I know more than you. I want to do what you're doing. Fuck you for not being as good as me. But, you know, I can see, like, okay, they need some help. And so I just kind of bided my time. And eventually, when we're having a conversation or having drinks after a show, you know, what do you do for a living comes up. And I tell him. But Joe, who runs the whole thing, he is also a graphic designer. He would be very much at home in that whole, like, event-driven, like, oh, we have a liquidation event type of thing. It's very liquidation event, his style. And
shouty.
Shouty, yeah. And if you've ever seen his stand-up, but it's, you have seen his stand-up.
The guy
that closes out the shows, hey, guys, if you're a big guy. If you wanted to fuck me, there's nothing I could do about it. Just tell me when you're done, sir.
Don't spoil his set for the people who haven't seen it.
But he asked me, he finally pulled me aside. It was the Indianapolis satellite. And he said, hey, you do print design. Do you know InDesign? I'm like, yeah, I know all that stuff. And then to an entire Adobe suite, I'm comfortable. So we were thinking about having a program for this year's main event. Is that something you could do? I'm like, yeah, that's something I could totally do. And I was like, well, we'll talk about money later. We don't have to talk about, you know, how much you're going to pay me for it. And he was like, oh, so you're willing to do it? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. It's no problem. And in the course of the back and forth, they were like, hey, we've reserved a full page ad for you if you want to take it. It's part of the whole package. And I was like, I don't know if I want it. I don't know
Your
if I want to sell anybody, you know, like freelance. I'm kind of busy. I feel like I want to
read this.
And go ahead and read my full page. Describe it first visually.
It's obviously very well designed. It pops, as they say, I guess.
That's our thing, right?
There is a wonderful illustration of you that you did.
Yes.
With the look on your face that anybody who has ever seen a photo of you, 75% of the photos of you, you are making this look.
Utter disdain.
On your face.
Utter disdain. The lip curl. For existence.
And it says, do you need professional promo servers? Ha ha! What a dumb question. Of course you do. Yes. Up your promo game with logo design, business cards, custom illustrations, custom stickers and labels, poster design, video editing, audio consultation, custom cocktails, voiceover, copywriting, owls, and so much more.
Yes.
Email for a quote today, Derek@DerekKnightIsFunnyGoddammit.com. I'm just glad to see that domain you bought is finally getting some use.
Yeah, it's paying off, I guess. But yeah, a lot of people came up to me and wanted to talk to me and asked for a business card. And were like, hey, I'm thinking about some merch. I'm like, I can help you. So that was nice. I did perform on the Monday. It was a whole week-long thing. I performed at the Monday early show, which was a catch-22 because a lot of the industry wasn't there yet, and the industry that was there was judging. I didn't get really good feedback from, which was a pain in the ass. And then the other industry that showed up, like, Tuesday, were like, when did you perform? I'm like, Monday. Oh, I didn't see you. Just give me your press kit, and maybe we'll talk to you next year. It's like, fuck. But in the whole process of getting better, the idea is that next year I would be on a later show. And it's a slow process, honestly, because last year I wasn't in on the first cut. I had to wait for people to drop out before I got added. I was actually added in within the first 60 people. So I knew I was going already.
So you clearly made the first cut this time.
Yeah, I made the first cut. I made the first cut on a lot of the satellites, and I made it into every satellite that I put in for, which is not the case from previous years. So obviously I'm getting better. Right. But being in East St. Louis for a week, I will say this. Last year it was at a place in Indiana, which is in the north part of Indiana near the Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana border, which is definitely a heritage, not hate part of Indiana. These are, Klan members who really believe that flying that Confederate flag is First Amendment rights. And
it's a frightening part of the country.
It's a frightening part of the country. And the casino we were at was so big, and it was out in the middle of literally nowhere. So if you were going to go there, you really had to want to go there. And so our crowds were thin. Plus, the showroom was massive. It was a thing that was set up for like big band concerts, like Air Supply plays there. And
oh yeah, and Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah, Dennis DeYoung. So it was not set up very well for comedy. This time at this particular casino, right across the bridge, right across the river from St. Louis, and the showroom was smaller, and it was a better situation for comedy. And I sold a shirt to a hooker, which I think was probably the highlight of the entire thing. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it went down, because it's a fun story for me to tell. Leading up to the whole thing, they send out incessant emails saying, please help us by volunteering. And I had volunteered and helped him out the last year, because not a lot of comics are like, oh, I don't want to waste my time helping. And they've been very nice to me, and they've given me opportunity. They paid me to do that book. I did shirts and all that. So I'm like, yeah, I'll help you out. And after a couple of days, Bobby, who was running the whole volunteer coordination thing, was like, hey, you know, what we really need is somebody to run the merch booth during the shows. And I'm like, oh, I can do that. Like, that's easy. That's literally just sitting in the merch booth and waiting for nobody to buy shirts. So this is cool. I can run this iPad and take your credit card. My shift started at 5. And Jason was across the way at the will call area. And Bobby was across the way working on her computer. I was just sitting there in the merch booth because I got nothing to do. Playing like Dots or whatever the fuck game I'm playing on my phone. And this younger, like early 20s, very well-dressed woman comes around the corner looking for tickets. She stuck out because it's like she's way early and she's way overdressed for the show. I'm like, wow, they really do it up here at East St. Louis. Okay. And I see her interaction and she buys the ticket. Jason is very polite Canadian. It's like, well, we'll be seating here in about an hour. So, you know, come on back and we'll get you in the show. She's like, okay. He's like, there's a bar and a couple of restaurants in the casino. You can go wait there if you want. She's like, okay. And she runs off. And then come seating time, people are getting their tickets. They're getting seated. And I'm talking to people. Souvenirs, novelties, party tricks. Trying to sell t-shirts. Probably like nearly an hour into the 6 p.m. show, here she comes again, visibly impaired. I don't know if she's high and drunk or one or the other. But
something
she's
entirely.
Fucking wobbly. And she's like, I want to get on a show. Emmanuel, who had been seating people, a little dude with like cerebral palsy, jumped up, I'll seat her, and takes her in. So I'm thinking, that's dumb. Like, you bought a ticket for the show, and you're only going to get to see like two comics. That's weird. Because I'm just coming at it from a standpoint of everything in my world is black and white. And like 3 minutes later, she storms out of the show and just walks by everybody. She comes back with a dude in one of them like Rascal scooters who's like 90. This dude he's wearing one of our industry badges. He has a record label that produces comedy albums. So he's in town to be a judge and for the meet and greet to try and sign comics to his label. And she's hanging out with him. He's just kind of drooling in his Rascal scooter. And she starts wandering around. The way the merch booth was set up, it's, you know, one of those stand like a table and it's got a little pop-up thing. And then we've got shirts hanging from it. So the front is open and the sides are kind of closed off by shirts so people can see the shirts. And she like sticks her head through one of the sides with the shirts, like the watcher in the woods, and is like, I want to buy this shirt. I'm like, which one? And almost all of our satellite shirts had some sort of skull motif. Can't remember which one, like Comedy Cabana in Myrtle Beach. So it was like a golf skull thing. And she's like, this one green is really my color. I want this one. And it's got a skull and I really like skulls. And I'm like, well, you're in luck because they screwed up and these are all women's cuts. So what size would you like? I want a medium. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me see if I can find you a medium. And she keeps saying, who designed this shirt? And I'm like, that one was done by Dan Fritchie. I did these. And she's like, oh, that's really great. You're really talented. Can I have a business card? I'm like, yeah, here. I finally medium shirt. She hands me a credit card. Didn't look at the name. Probably dude in the Rascal's credit card. And she buys the shirt. And by that time, Karen Jaffe, who's another comedian who was also volunteering, was across the way. And she looks at me and she makes a little hook with her finger. She goes, she's a hooker. And I'm over here like, and I'm like, what? And she's a hooker. makes this little.
I wish you could see yeah, that.
She's making a little hook with her finger, and so I do this thing. Maybe you can describe it. I'm like, huh?
Oh, the hook, the hook. Fish hook in the mouth.
Fish hook in the mouth. And I'm like, she's a hooker. And Karen's like, yes, she's a hooker. And I'm like, and I said, I don't think so.
I never thought you would be the innocent type.
Right? And so then, you know, some time passes and Jason comes back. He was off doing something. Karen said, well, Dave has a hooker. Mm-hmm. And Jason was like, David, I don't think so. And so we're both like, we think you're crazy. But then they come back and he's out of his rascal. And she's kind of helping him along.
That's an expression for you.
And he,
he's out of his
and he says, this is my fiance. And I was like, oh, fuck. She is a I sold a shirt to a hooker. And then Jason's watching this whole thing, and we're watching this whole thing. And apparently what had happened when she went in the showroom the first time was she made a beeline, because we have couches in the back for the industry judges. And she made a beeline for the couch. And Emmanuel's like, you can't sit there. And she's like, why not? And he said, because this is reserved for the judges. And her response was, well, I'm fucking one this week.
Oh, no.
And he said, well, you're going to have to go get him to corroborate that story. And so that's why they came back together.
Oh, wow.
And watching them go back into the showroom, Jason was like, oh, I guess you're right. So
wow.
So she was hanging around the entire time, and Joe was very much like, you can't be in anything. Like, she kept showing up. He's like, you have to leave. And David would come out, no, she's with me. And he's like, I don't care. She doesn't have a badge. She has to leave. But I caught a bit of a conversation between them when I was standing outside the meet and greet. And his question was, why didn't you bring the other girls?
Oh.
And she said, well, a couple of them are in school and one is babysitting right now.
Wow.
So apparently that's how the prostitution movement works in East St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I would say she looked a lot cleaner than I expected.
Yeah,
I'm not even touching that.
Not even. Literally.
Yeah.
You know what we should touch, though? Another movie review.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Another movie review.
Hey, that's Karen!
Wonder Park. It is about a park, and it has to do with a little girl. Oh, yes, okay, now I remember. The little girl was very close to her mother, and they did all these things in her room, and they made up a park. It was wonderful. As I recall. Anyway, one day, her mother went away. Now, because her mother was ill, but they don't kind of tell the girl that, or the dad didn't tell the girl that. I don't remember something. But anyway, the dad was kind of good. He loved a girl, but he didn't really explain what was going on with the mom. I think the mom was, the voice was played by Laura Dern. Anyway, so the little girl, oh, she was crazy in the beginning. She just built all these contraptions, crazy things that would, she'd put her friends in these, and they'd go riding and across. She'd build all these things, and they'd go riding over the fence in the neighbor's yard and stuff. Be a kid that would drive me crazy if it was my neighbor. Anyhow, the only way she could come to grips with her mom being gone, because nobody would really tell her. I don't think the mother died. No, the mother didn't die. So she somehow was able to build this park for real, and it gave hope to other children.
I love that she's laughing at that.
This one wasn't near as entertaining to me as that missing link. So sometimes I might have dozed off. But in the end, her mom comes back and all is well.
Yeah, that's Karen.
I'm not sure if she was drunk the entire time or if she just hates the idea of giving other kids hope.
Yeah, that's the funniest part of that movie.
Yeah.
I guess it gave other kids hope.
Fuck them.
I don't know. I was bored by it.
I have a quarter, but it's not for you.
Right, I have a quarter.
You know, that'd be the kind of kid that would really irritate me if they were my
That's right. All these creative endeavors and building roller coasters. Fuck that kid. Just go get bad grades or something. What is wrong with you?
I feel like I really want your mom to watch, like, My Neighbor Totoro or Spirited Away or
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't think she could follow that. But I think we should do it just to get her, yeah, her take. Oh, Spirited Away especially would probably confuse the shit out of
her. Oh, yeah.
So I'm on board. Definitely on board with that process.
Yeah.
And you know what we've done? We talked so much that we're at a point where it would be ludicrous to continue going with this episode.
Just ludicrous.
Absolutely ludicrous.
Too silly. Play that ending music. Wrap it up.
My name is Derek Knight. You've been listening to The Big Program. Colin Burton talked a little bit about his recent vacation.
Yeah, goodbye.
My sister Heather talked a lot about their recent vacation.
Bye-bye.
My girlfriend just talked a little bit about her impending vacation.
Impending doom.
Impending doom. Fuck Montrose, y'all. And we will be back soon with more fun and more thrills. Big Program.